Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Second hour at Aaron Donick and Chase on this Monday morning. Hope everybody's having a great start to your week and had a great weekend. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick. Ed Chase McCabe is back in the fold.
Hello.
He has regathered himself from last night's crushing loss. He's picked himself up off the mat, and he's ready to forge ahead for the next 3 hours.
I am. I needed that extra hour just to, you know, just to cry a little bit more.
Well, right. I was going to say, it's not good to cry on the air, and so you got all your tears out, and so you're ready to rock and roll.
Yeah. So I appreciate you guys holding it down. I did get to hear a little bit, so I will say this before we get to Teron Davenport. I understand why Romeo Crennel did it. I wouldn't have done it. There you go. That's my analysis.
Right. There you go. Not bad. That's good stuff. Concise and to the point. I like it. By the way, we have learned that Jeff Fisher will join us at 1 o'clock. He understands what a 5-0 start feels like, looks like, and how you approach it, because the last Titans team to get off to a 5-0 start was that 8-0 team.
Or he's that fired up team. Too.
And they beat Baltimore in Baltimore to go 5-0, and then they went into the bye week. So we'll get into all things analytics.
Yes, he knows also the mental part of the decision to go for two. I think that's going to be fascinating to hear at one. And a friend of mine just at the break sent me this. I did not know. I just sent it to you guys that the Texans did invest in analytics. They hired a couple people. One of them was with the Arizona Coyotes, who are one of the craziest analytics teams in the NHL, or, you know, cutting edge.
They hired Steve Sullivan?
No, it's a guy from the – it's a data guy, right? Okay. A guy that has not ever walked the sidelines, right? That's always the great debate, right, is the math tells you one thing, but the feel on the sidelines is worth something. How do the two come together? That's a fascinating thing. I didn't know that. So you got to say the analytics did play a part.
There's no doubt. We will talk to Jeff Fisher at 1 o'clock. We'll also head east and bring in Vince Ferrara at high noon. Yikes. Boy, you think we've got some things to talk about with the Vols with Vince Ferrara. That's coming up at noon. But right now we talk with TD. Teron Davenport. Talking with TD is his podcast that you can hear every week, starting on Wednesdays. Also, Nate and TD on Friday nights at 6 o'clock on the station, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And he is also the NFL Nation reporter for ESPN and ESPN.com. He's Teron Davenport. TD, welcome to the show. What would you have done if you were Romeo Crennel?
I would have done the same thing. And that play call was one of the rare occurrences where analytics and gut are combined in one. He felt confident that his team could get 2 yards, and they got it. They had gotten it, you know, just before to score the touchdown. They moved the ball well, so he wanted to go for the win. I think it's a good decision. And like I said, the analytics matched what he was feeling in his gut, and as a result, you have that decision. And I think it's getting really swept under the rug that the play actually would have worked if it wasn't for an outstanding play by Jeffrey Simmons. Randall Cobb was wide open. Deshaun Watson was trying to get it to him, but he didn't think that Simmons would be able to get his hand up there and knock it down. And that's just an example of the great things that this Titans coaching staff is able to do as far as their drills that they do in practice carrying over to the game. That's what Terrell Williams and defensive assistant Matt Edwards, that's what they do. They have the guys practice matching hands with the quarterback, and they throw a kickball, and the guys have to jump up and knock the kickball down, and you have that. So, I mean, things happen, and I would have made the same decision. I don't think it was a bad one, and they still had to force the Titans to drive, you know, down the field and score a touchdown. They did, and, you know, here we are.
Now, wait a minute. We did not factor in his gut was involved. We thought it was all analytics. If Romeo's gut was involved, then he's got to trust his gut. And if his gut says go for it, then he needs to go for it. I would trust his gut.
Well, yeah.
You know,
that's the thing. I mean, he obviously had that gut feeling, you know, and he said after the game he was going for the win. So that lets you know that, you know, that was a feeling that he had to trust his guys. And remember, this is a team that needs a spark. They just had a coaching change. This is a team that really was trying to bounce back after all the things that had happened. They were coming off the high of a divisional win. This is a major game for them to win if they were to pull it off. So, I mean, he was playing to win the game, and I can't knock him for that.
The Texans failed on the two-point conversion. I failed on a bad joke right there. So, Titans, would you have gone for two after the touchdown to A.J. Brown, or was kicking the extra point the right move?
I think kicking the extra point was the right move. Sent it to overtime, and that was the right decision there for the Titans on that one. I would have done the same thing, tie it up.
But why is it different? If you were – Adam, just to challenge you, Teron, because we spent the whole first hour debating this back and forth between all of us and some callers. So why is that so different in your mind? Because couldn't you make the same argument that you're on a roll, you got the better offense, you got Derrick Henry, why not go for the win? As you said, Crennel was correct to do.
It's different in my mind because the extra point would have made it 36-36 to tie the game up. After missing that two-point conversion, as I said before, the Titans still had to drive down the field with a minute 50 left and two timeouts. Well, actually, I believe they only have one timeout.
Yep.
And score a touchdown. So there's a huge difference because the game wasn't literally on the line with that play call. So I definitely feel there's a difference. That's why.
How bad do you think the news is going to be today on Taylor Lewan? What's your gut feeling?
It's not really my gut feeling. It's what I've been told. And actually, Chris Mortensen reported, Jay Glazer originally reported that it was a torn ACL. And Chris Mortensen reported that, it's definitely believed to be that. So the MRI is going to be... Well, was this morning, and I think that Lewan is unfortunately gone for the season, and that's a major loss for this team because he's not only really good on the field, he's a guy in this day and age where you don't have full stadiums, you need somebody that's going to BYOE, bring your own energy, and that's what Lewan does each and every week. He's a heart on that offense, so it's major news for them. It's a big blow, and it's just something else that this Titans team is going to have to weather.
Just for people who have never been through that process, orthopedic surgeons can initially look before the MRI and assess and come up with a pretty good conclusion. It happened to me last fall where I feared that I'd torn my ACL. I went in going, I think I torn my ACL, and he did all the thorough exam before the MRI and said, no, I don't think you did. I think it's meniscus. I went and got my MRI. It came back meniscus. Yeah, it's not guaranteed, but I'm saying the people in that field, they have a pretty good idea of even before the MRI. So if that's out there, and obviously I'd seen that. I wasn't sure if you were going along with that report, so you believe it's going to be what everybody is fearing, the worst-case scenario.
Right, exactly. And it's not even – of fearing, it's believing. They believe it is that, but as you mentioned, it could go left or right, and the MRI will simply confirm it. So that's what they're looking for, the confirmation, because it's different from just being your average Joe, right? This is a multi-million-dollar athlete with huge stakes at hand, so they're going to make sure that they confirm it before it's truly released.
Does this change the game plan for Isaiah Wilson now? Do you have to – whatever plan they had, whether it's slow roll, not play at all, whatever their plan was, does this now change that?
D-Mac, that's an awesome question, and I think it does change it somewhat. I still feel Tyson Braille will be the left tackle, and although he gave up the strip sack and they did a wonderful job scheming to get one-on-one Watt versus him,
Wasn't that the first play after Luan went out, or was it the second?
Yeah, it was early. Golly,
it was like, oh, no.
Play, man. It's like any given Sunday, you know what I'm saying? Like the movie. It was terrible. But, you know, after that, he kind of settled in. And I think really it does actually accelerate the process for Isaiah Wilson. I saw him working out before the game, and they were doing extensive stuff. And I'll say this. And seeing him in practice, of course, we only saw individual, and seeing him in one-on-one, he looks like he's starting to get better condition because he's really getting down in his stance and exploding out of it. So that's a positive thing for him after all the stuff that he's been through. And I think their next move, if something were to happen to Sambrail or he struggled mightily, I think they would pull him and have Dennis Kelly flip from right to left side, and then insert Isaiah Wilson at right tackle. I think that's something. But remember, you always have David Quisenberry, you know, as a guy that they could get in there as well, and he could play pretty much everything on the line except for center.
Full disclosure, TD, and I'm going to lean on you for help. I don't know anything about this guy. What can you tell us about this guy right now? I don't know anything about Sambrail, the guy that filled in for at left tackle.
It's so funny. It sounds like I'm still practicing saying his name. It's like when you get a new guy and he's got a different name, you got to practice it. I always think it's Sombrero or Michael Sembello. Remember the song Maniac from Flashdance? Michael Sembello?
Man, you're showing your age, Willie. And I'm laughing, so I'm showing my age too. Yeah, what can you tell us about him?
Yeah, well, I mean, he was an early draft pick by the Broncos. He came from the Falcons. He did have some starts there. He was beaten out. But he's played primarily right tackle. So that is a bit of a flop for him to move to left tackle. But at the same time, he's a veteran player. You know, he's also played some guard, so he's just going to have to learn to write with his right and left hand, and that's really what it boils down to. Probably the biggest thing that he has to his name is the catch a run he had. I think it was 32 or 40 yards, something like that, on a tackle eligible, and he was able to get into the end zone. But that's pretty much it on him. You know, good size. I think that's something that would definitely help. But it's definitely, by all means, a drop back from having Taylor Lewan out there.
Teron Davenport is with us. We're talking Titans. Teron, of course, talking with TD. You can hear the podcast every week. You can hear it on our show, or on our station, rather, with Nate Washington. Always great analysis. Check him out, ESPN.com. So, Teron, if you were voting right now for MVP, the league says, Teron, I need your vote from the Titans. Who is the MVP nominee for the league? Would you vote for Tannehill or Henry?
You know, and Chase could attest to this. What I'm about to say, I almost want to slap my own face because Chase knows that I've been very, very high on Derrick Henry. But I really think right now if the Titans had to pick an MVP – is Ryan Tannehill, just because how he's helped weather the storm so much as far as being consistent from week to week to week. Derrick Henry and it's tough because consistent for Derrick Henry is, oh, well, you need to see 125 to a buck 50 on the ground each week. I think for Tannehill, you know, just what he's been able to do as far as spreading the football around, as far as being so efficient with the football, outside of yesterday, but what he's done with the red zone as far as making that red zone offense really be so darn good, among the best in the NFL, either the Titans or Seahawks, and a lot of that has to do with Tannehill. So I'm going to go with Ryan Tannehill as the Titans MVP, and it's just because of what he does. And an excellent example of that was when they took over on the 24-yard. I asked him, I said, what do you tell the guys when you go to the huddle? Because it's almost like you're unflappable in those situations. And he simply said, we just go out and do what we do. I told them, let's go out and win it, and let's get the ball to the end zone. And those type of things, when you have a guy that goes there and is as calm as could be, like as if they were in the park somewhere throwing the ball, that's soothing to the rest of the team. And that air of confidence, it goes out to the rest of the guys in that huddle, and it really helps in that situation. So I'm going to say Ryan Tannehill, and that obviously it comes with a penalty of, you know, a couple slaps to my own face.
Well, I don't blame you, because I think it's a great debate, because I've always gone under the thought that Henry is the guy that is making everybody better, but at the same time, you have to give Tannehill all the credit in the world for exactly what you're saying. Case in point would be the two-minute drive to tie the game on the last drive. For the most part, Henry was not on the field, right? That's a two-minute offense. It's hurry up. He's not really factoring in. That's Tannehill and playing without Jonnu Smith at that point, right? And for that matter, Corey Davis. So they're still figuring out how to get it done. Let me ask you this one, Duron. I know you really get into this. The play design. The play calling by Arthur Smith, the timing of it, unveiling, you know, the great play at the key time, the wildcat on the last play, the little screen pass that they hadn't shown before to get the big play in overtime, the fake spike, not being satisfied just with spiking it, take your two shots and throw it in there. All of that, you got Arthur Smith has just been unbelievable. Like, he already had this great rating. If it was possible to go even higher, I think he did yesterday.
Yeah, and there's two other plays, and it's almost like he's playing with the opposition. You look at A.J. Brown's touchdown, he had Jonnu Smith lined up in the backfield and Derrick Henry lined up in the slot and A.J. Brown lined up outside of him. He ran, he had Jonnu run kind of like an angle route out of the backfield to take that safety away. And then A.J. Brown slipped underneath him on the crossing route, a little stutter in the window, and then kept going across as Tannehill moved to the right, and it was a touchdown. Then you look at Adam Humphries, that play that where he scored, you had Anthony Firkser on a quick seven route, which is a corner route, to confuse the safety, and then Humphries went right over top of him, and he was wide open because Lonnie Johnson didn't know where to go, and because there was just too much put in front of him. And that's play design. That's foresight. That's looking at a particular person on the defense and saying, okay, you know what, we're going to put him in the bind and where he can't. It's like playing Connect Four. You know, you set it up to where. Yep. If the opposition puts the chip one place, you could just connect four in the other place. And it's really just masterful what he's been able to do. And I don't think he's getting enough credit. And Arthur Smith and that whole coaching staff, they're all putting it together. They're doing a great job.
I love the Connect Four reference. I think for that might be my great brain set. You know, sometimes they say somebody's playing checkers, the other person's playing chess, but I think in between is the Connect Four, Toronto. I think we're connecting there. I understood exactly what you're saying. More complicated than checkers, maybe not quite as complicated as chess, but very important stuff. Let me ask one more. This is an offshoot of the question I asked you before, but this might be a different answer for you. Is there any non-quarterback in the NFL right now who changes the game? I'm talking about offense or defense. Take the quarterbacks out. Is there any non-quarterback that changes the game more than Derrick Henry right now?
You know, if I had to pick someone, I would say Myles Garrett is up there. What he's able to do as far as forcing turnovers and just harassing quarterbacks. But it's hard to say that there is a particular non-quarterback that has so much of an impact. That 94-yard run was just, I mean, what can you say about that? And the 53-yard screen, those are plays that are just so tremendously impactful. So I'm going to say no, but if there was one guy that deserves to be mentioned, I would say Myles Garrett.
We're talking to Teron Davenport, ESPN Titans NFL Nation reporter. We've talked about a lot of good things today, TD, but I do want to ask you what you're seeing from the secondary as a whole right now. I know I've seen a few numbers from Pro Football Focus, and you can take those however you want to of some of the numbers from yesterday, whether it's Butler surrendered 7 completions and 11 targets for 110 yards and a touchdown, Kevin Byard, 5 completions on 5 targets for 63 yards and a TD. What are you seeing from that secondary that is bogging down things, so to speak, on the defense?
Well, I think if you're going to look at those PFF numbers, you have to look at the situations. I'll say that. But from what I've seen, that touchdown, the 53-yarder, Watson, the Fuller, that was a miscommunication. Butler wasn't sure if he was supposed to have safety help over top. And then it was just a really good play design, too, because you had that route underneath that hooked up in the middle of the field that kind of caused him to want to bite that. And any bit of hesitation from a defensive back against a 4-3 guy like Fuller is going to hurt you. So I think it's communication. I think it's there's not enough disruption at the line of scrimmage. When they go man, the Titans are a very heavy man defensive team. They need to get more disruption, or what I call chatter, at the line of scrimmage to force the quarterback to come off his favorite target immediately and go through the progressions. And that gives the guys up front a little bit more time to get home. But at the same time, the guys up front need to get better pressure, because there are times where these DBs are asked to cover way too long. So it's a combination. As Mike Vrabel said yesterday, there's a lot of things that need to be fixed. And I think, you know, he said that tongue-in-cheek, kind of. But, you know, it still is something that really is true. So there's a lot all throughout, you know, up front and also in the back end.
People are going to look at the stat sheet. They're going to look in the sack column. They're going to see a 0 next to Jadeveon Clowney, and they're going to freak out. And they're going to say that that's unacceptable. And I agree. You signed him to hit the quarterback. But when you have watched him play since he's been here and over the last few weeks as he's gotten more acclimated with this defense, I see the pressures. I know the pressures are there. I see him just about every play. But for whatever reason, he's not completing the sack. He's not getting to the quarterback. But what do you see?
Yeah, he's getting pressures, and he's getting some run stuffs. But I think this past game against the Texans, he was pretty quiet. And you need a guy, especially in those situations where it's third and long. That's what you signed up for when you brought him on, to be able to say, you know what, it's third and long. I earned the right to rush the quarterback, and I'm going to be disruptive. I'm going to either sack him, or I'm going to force him off his block, or force a bad throw that will lead to an interception. And unfortunately, I don't think that's happening enough. And when you bring on a guy like Clowney, that's what you're bringing him on. You're bringing him on to be a game changer. And that's what he is. So it's not something that's coming consistently. And I'm not even looking at the sack aspect. I'm just looking at game-changing type of plays, whether it's, again, like I said, you know, forcing the quarterback off his block and into the hands of someone else, you know, something. They need to get a bit more disruption from him. I don't think it's time to panic, because that game's going to come, and you're going to be like, that's exactly why this team paid him that money. But it just hasn't happened yet.
All right, we got to end on a high note, because we got to mention your guy, Sticky Fingers, Anthony Firkser. What a game. He is proving that he is, and we've seen it time and time again, when his number is called, he catches the ball. 8 catches on 9 targets yesterday, including that 45-yarder. He's becoming, as you mentioned earlier, one of those guys that Tannehill can spread the ball around to, but he's a guy he trusts.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. I think that 45-yarder was an outstanding play. But to me, the best catch they had and the best example of the sticky fingers that he has was that touchdown. Because, you know, that's a throw where if he catches it with his body, you know, it's going to ricochet off of him. But he caught it with his hands and was very confident in his hands. Ryan Tannehill threw a bullet to him. and he secured it and got the touchdown. So, yeah, without a doubt, he's been outstanding, and I give him credit for that. And I've said, you know, before, and I'll say it again, he's probably their most consistent pass catcher on the team as far as catching everything that's thrown his way and not dropping it.
He is Teron Davenport. Talking with TD is the podcast. It drops on Wednesday, and then Nate and TD on Friday nights at 6 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Teron, we appreciate it as always.
No problem. Appreciate you.
Teron Davenport. We will have more coming up on that Titans game in just a few minutes. But first, it is my time to tell you about BetMGM. They are coming soon to our fair state here in Tennessee. These are the same people that light up the Las Vegas Strip with the world's greatest sports books and casinos. They're opening real money wagering on a state-of-the-art app that's easy to use and features all of your favorite sports. You guys know I like to dabble, and I know a lot of you like to dabble, but soon you're going to be able to do it with BetMGM. Find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks with parlay bonus payouts, in-game wagering, boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and much more. Every time you make a wager, you'll earn credits in M Life Rewards. That's the exclusive loyalty program of MGM Resorts. Every big game, every big play will mean more than ever. So get ready to experience sports like you never have before. Be among the first fans in the state to download the BetMGM sports app coming soon to Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 or older, must be present in the state of Tennessee. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight. Enjoy the excitement and play today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.